From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
It's a whole new week, Chiefs Kingdom. I'm back.
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm sure that they're happy that you're back.
Why?
Oh, because my voice by itself is near entertaining.
Well, I thought Matt did a pretty good job of hanging out.
Yeah, although you owe us both the Q39, so, you know.
I agree to it. Q39, if you're listening, let's talk about setting something up, and I'll feed these two because I'm going to need some promotional help here. My wallet cannot handle feeding the three of us, so. And for all of you fans out there, hit Q39 up for us, will ya? We'll try to put together a remote around training camp or early in the season or whatever, when we can all get there, and we'll try to make an event out of it.
Not to mention that Matt's probably going to be back next week.
I certainly hope so and appreciate that. I thought you guys did great while I was gone, and I'm going to be, again, out of touch for another week. So it'll be interesting. But on that line, I want to say thank you to Chrissy and Bill and Todd and Steven, who actually came out and met me at a local brewery type establishment in Los Angeles while I was there last week. And we talked some Chiefs, and it's good to see some Chiefs fans in that area. So I appreciate you guys coming out.
That's pretty cool. I didn't know that happened. I knew you were looking for people to say hello to, but
Honestly, it was a little bit random. It wasn't even, they're not listeners, or they weren't at the time. So hopefully they are now. So hopefully you guys hear this, but it was a good time, and a little bit out of sorts being in a strange country, but ran into a number of Raiders fans. I just want to say that out loud. So, not many Chargers fans for being in Los Angeles. So just an observation, but
well, the Raiders are a little bit more well represented in that area of the country, I would imagine. So doesn't surprise me, even though I really don't understand how people consider themselves Raiders fans. But, you know, poor judgment and all aside, that's beside the point.
So, you know, I know you guys had a lot of discussions last week about what's been going on, the signings and the movement, and especially along the front seven. Where did you guys leave it with what is going on with who's here and who's not?
Well, we kind of talked about R&R a little bit, and at the time that we recorded the last episode, he had not been released yet. I think Kansas City was maybe trying to see if they could trade him. Don't have any confirmed reports of that, but it just makes sense considering I think it was 3 days before he ended up getting released that he had that post out there, so he knew he was gone, and Kansas City knew he was gone, but they didn't just straight up release him, so you have to think they were trying to get some kind of value out of it. Although, you know, with a player like him, it's really hard to expect it to get anything considering it's a $2 million contract.
Yeah, I mean, that's not outlandish for some teams. There's several teams here that still have, you know, 30-plus cap room. So, but you got to have two to dance. And if they weren't interested, maybe that's just what it was. But I agree with you that that lag in seeing the official announcement probably denotes them trying to move on from him. And I think I saw a couple of people at least conjure up the thought while they couldn't confirm a report.
Yeah, and, you know, when it comes to him, I'm not going to say he's not a good player. I like the guy. I think he brought a lot of energy to the defensive line like Chris Jones does. But we didn't see progression last year. We saw a little bit of regression from what we saw in the preseason. So, you know, hopefully Kansas City's going to be okay there. But, you know, it's still a question mark.
Well, and I think when you take a step back and you think about what R&R is as a player, he is, from everything that we've seen, in my opinion, his best part of his game is shooting gaps, attacking space. With his quickness, not the strongest guy, not the biggest guy. He doesn't quite fit the mold of what we've seen them do and speak about doing in terms of getting bigger, nastier. He's kind of a flash to everybody else's Superman.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, they moved on. So at this point, you know, you look at what they have on the defensive line, and you have to think that, okay, well, they're going to have Chris Jones. At this point, you still think Alan Bailey is going to be there. And then you have, you know, Xavier Williams, you have Derek Nnadi, and maybe Jarvis Jenkins. So that's five.
Yep, that's a solid group. And you never know who's going to emerge from that or how they're going to play people. I've finished my film review on Breland Speaks. And there should be a video up soon for those of you that are listening over on the YouTube channel at RGR Football. And I'll give you some of that. And I still see some things that they may be able to do with Speaks that are, you know, not just the outside linebacker stuff.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, and Matt and I kind of talked about this when we talked about Breland Speaks himself is, you know, you look at what he is as a player. And to me, it makes a lot of sense that, you know, he's not going to play a lot when he would need to drop into pass coverage. He's not going to play that outside linebacker position too much. I think you're going to have that from time to time and he'll be asked to do it from time to time, but it's not going to be something he's going to excel at, especially this year. But I think that the role that they're bringing him in for this year is to be one of those pass rushers when they have when they go to Justin Houston and D4 in third long situations, he's going to be the inside rusher.
Yeah, and I think that's really what he's best suited to in general. But in particular, when he has speed rushers outside, I think he's very, very effective. You saw that a lot with Marquise Haynes at Ole Miss, and I think that's something he's going to build on. I had one surprising takeaway, and I don't want to ruin for anybody who needs to see it, but he's got ability standing up, not necessarily on the end of the line, that speaks to what he may be able to learn and become. And I think this, much like the Passanio selection, is, again, not just what he can do when he first shows up, but banking on progression, on upside. Right.
What they see him being able to do in a year or two.
Yeah, being able to take what they see on film in a raw aspect and apply it and mold it to what they want to do. But I do think that it shows a little bit more versatility than I originally thought, just looking at his film at a glance. And I think that may give him an upper hand at progressing faster than we may have originally thought in his rookie season. So we may not be able to count him out or think that he's going to be stuck in situations.
Well, and that's fair. I think the thing that frustrates me a little bit looking back at this draft and last draft is you look at what Kansas City did in the second round and you're looking at guys that you have to project to what they're going to be playing in the NFL. You don't have guys that are going to come in and really be forces right away, at least in my opinion. Don't get me wrong. I think Speaks can be a very good player. But he's not going to be an instant starter. And you look at the drafting of Passanio, and we knew he was going to be coming in and struggling to get into the defense and play a lot of snaps. So to me, that's a little frustrating because to me, that says that they were more luxury picks than they were anything else. I get that that's kind of where they want to go. And I think that in a year or two, maybe they'll be okay, but it's going to be rough over the next year. Not having those guys step in to be starters.
Well, I tell you the truth, I see a scenario where he does step in and become a starter almost immediately, only because we're not sure of how Dee Ford is physically and whether once training camp opens and he starts to go, whether he's going to be available or not. And I think the one thing that you can say about Speaks right now today is he sets the edge in the run game better than Dee Ford does.
And that's fair, but let me ask you this question. So while I'm not arguing with what you're saying there, if you're the Chiefs, can you really afford, they obviously know more than we do about Dee Ford, but if they really think he's going to be healthy, are they making that pick thinking that he's going to injure himself again? I mean, is that really the way you want them drafting? Because to me at that point, I mean, I guess I see it, but I still don't think he's going to be near as effective as what's, maybe some other guys that could have stepped into the defense day one and played other positions.
Possibly, and that's a fair point. But I also think it's not just about guarding against his injury. It's about next season. I think what they've seen from Dee Ford is not what they want to see. And unless he does something truly impressive, I'm talking 16, 18 sacks this coming season, I don't think Dee Ford is back. And so not only is it protection against Ford's injury or possible injuries in 2018, but it's also about who's going to be there in 19.
And I get you can't just look at 1 year. I'm not trying to suggest that you have to look at the year in a vacuum. All I'm simply saying is that generally with your first and second round picks, you're wanting guys that are going to step in and start. You're going to want guys that are going to step in and make your team better that current year. Third and fourth round guys, you're going to want maybe to be able to come starters at some point. Fifth through seventh round, generally, you're going to be looking at more special teams guys or role players. And I just think that, you know, you look at last year's draft in the second round, this year's draft in the second round, I think they're more, you know, in line with, you know, being maybe starters in 2 or 3 years. And it's going to be hard for me to see Passanio be a starter.
Yep, I agree. Let's take a second, and then I want to talk about, you know, other options that were out there as well as what this could become.
And that's the big question, and I agree with you. I can probably name you 2 or 3 guys that can play the edge that I would have taken over Breland Speaks where he was taken, period. So, I mean, that's what it is. But again, it goes to the overall theme. In fact, all 3 of the guys that I'm thinking of are in that 240 to 255 range, not 200 and almost 90 pounds. So again, it goes to, do you foresee having the bigger edges in Passanio and Speaks as part of your new scheme shift, playing more of the 4-man front? I don't think, and I've had people ask me several times about, are they going to a straight 4-3? And I don't think so. I think both Hutchins and Reggie Raglan are best inside. So having both of them kind of doubles you up. Yes, I think Hitchens can probably play the Sam. It's a question mark of what would you do with Justin Houston? You know, I don't think 4-3 is the base in their future, but they obviously play the nickel so much that that's really what it's going towards.
Well, and I think that they're looking at the reality that you're going to be in a nickel situation more than 50% of the time. The problem is they don't have the defensive alignment for 4-3. I don't think they have the defensive tackles that they would really need for that position. And I'm not, I don't know that you can make an argument that they really have the defensive ends that you'd want either. So they may have some instances of playing 4-3 at times, you know, when you go to a nickel situation, but, or more of a 4-3 type look, but I don't think that's where they're going. I don't think that's where they want to go. I think they are trying to go to a bigger 3-4 front than you've seen in the past.
Yeah, and I'm very excited. In going through Speaks film, you saw Ole Miss use him in a stand-up role in what I would like to see the Chiefs do, and it's kind of a throwback to the Rex Ryan years when Bob was working for him, and they used to run a modified bear front, you know, and run defensive linemen covering guard, center, guard, and let the outside backers just kind of do their thing. And I think this group that they've put together offers them much more ability to do that and protect the A and B gaps than we've seen in past. And I hope that that's a signal that they're looking to be more aggressive in between. And from all everything we've heard, it looks that way. I just want to see it on the field.
You like your aggressiveness and your attacking. And I get it. I mean, the defense, you know, I just remember too many times last year looking at the game and saying, okay, Kansas City's offenses look pretty good, but the defense can't stop anybody. And, you know, obviously that has to change. And hopefully these changes are going to help them and get them to be better this year. We'll have to see how that shakes out. You know, the biggest question to me at this point, and we have no indication at this point whether or not this player is going to be back and be healthy or not. Have you heard anything about Eric Berry?
You know, not anything in particular. I know Chris Conley had put out there that he was training with him in the offseason, and little bits and pieces. I think he put out an Instagram video of him running ladder drills, and he looked perfectly fine. Obviously that's not contact and that's not big cutting, but it goes with quickness and agility, and that's great. I don't see any reason why Eric Berry wouldn't be back. And I think they would have had to make bigger moves had they had any serious worry about it.
No, and I agree with that. I guess all I'm saying is that of all the people on the defense that matter most to me that were injured last year, he's the biggest one. And at this point, you know, we have no indication whether or not he's going to be available for, you know, I don't care if he's not out there for OTAs. I don't care if he's not out there for mandatory minicamp. I care whether or not he's going to be able to practice when it comes to training camp, because there is a big, big correlation of not being able to practice and then coming in and getting injured early in the season.
Yeah, and then that's a fair point. I would think at this point, after having gone out so early last season, and knowing the kind of rehab he's done in the past, I don't see any reason to doubt that he'll be ready.
And knowing the type of person he is.
Yeah.
Anybody that can go and take a special type of chemotherapy just so he's able to still work out and come back the way he did from cancer, I'm not going to doubt him. And I'm not really trying to with what I've said. I'm just saying that's the bigger concern for me when it comes to injury.
And that makes perfect sense.
He's so much to this team.
And they really need him, especially with who I think is going to be either a young Eric Murray, who's still working on that safety thing. If he wins out playing next to Barry in the starting lineup, okay, I'm happy with that. I think he's still got a long way to go, but he needs that tutelage. Same would be true if what we think they're expecting from Armani Watts, he's going to need that tutelage too. Whoever shows up is going to need Eric Berry because there's no Ron Parker to rely on.
Right. Well, and this was said, and I don't know if you caught it when you listened to the podcast, but, you know, Matt pointed out, and we were kind of talking, I'm not so sure Sorensen's guaranteed a spot on this roster. He's got a pretty big cap number for being number three or number four at safety.
I agree. I'm glad you guys said it because I know folks are a little tired of me running him down, but his limitations for what this defense needs to be able to do in terms of being interoperable between its safeties, both up at the box as well as playing the deep middle. But I do expect to see more split safeties for the Chiefs in 2018.
Well, but if they're going to put Dorian O'Daniel in basically the situation where they were putting Sorensen before, then he really is your fourth safety. Is he really worth keeping around at that price? Because you basically I understand that's where you're coming from. I guess all I'm saying is that's where they're going to be looking from, is that they're going to be their fourth guy, and he's not going to be playing the box anymore because you went out and got a guy to do that specific role.
Yeah. And I think that truly is – I like what O'Daniel brings to that. I think – and the fact that people say, oh, but he's not really a linebacker. You know, he played a lot of nickel coverage. Okay, great. That's the point. Having Hitchens on the field with Ragland in that base 4-2 in the nickel lets O'Daniel be that guy that can be between – I don't expect him to cover a whole lot of slot receivers in the NFL. There's more speed in the NFL than there is in college. But he's got – those traits that allow him that change of direction that will really pay off. And I agree with you. That makes Dan Sorensen, I don't want to say impossible. Nothing's impossible. But it makes his road to a roster spot on this team extremely tough. And after we take a second, I know you have something about the cap space that's important.
Well, especially considering Kansas City's still hurting for cap space. After the R&R release, I mean, you're still sitting there thinking, okay, well, the draft class is probably going to eat up another million of change. And then you're going to, when they get all those guys signed, and then you're going to have, when you get down to final cuts, you have to have operating room and all the players come onto the payroll. And that's going to be another couple million between the bottom of the roster and the practice squad. So, you know, they're going to be down to just $2 or $3 million. Sorensen would free up, I think, two this year. So that's going to be significant. I mean, it could be half their cap space that they could have available to go through the year.
Yeah. And it's definitely something that's going to be maneuvered around. It's hard to project any of the higher dollar number guys getting cut. You know, I don't expect surprise casualties, only because Sorensen isn't much of a surprise. At this point, I think they still feel like they need to hold on to Alan Bailey, even though he does have a significant cap number. But I don't really expect him to be a cap casualty either. So this cap doesn't look like it has a lot of room to change.
No, and they've got deals that they've got to get ready to start making in the future. So definitely something that they're going to have to look at. And you know, we focused a lot on the defense today, and, you know, I think tomorrow we'll come back and talk about the offense. But you know, a lot of it is because of the defensive changes that they've been making, and they've kind of forced their hand as going that way in the draft because of everything they did before the draft on offense.
Yeah, there's definitely a couple of things I want to talk about on offense that are going to be maybe troubling to some fans as it comes down to camp, because I think there are cuts on that side of the ball that are going to happen that people are going to be upset to see. Yep. But let's cover that tomorrow. Folks, thank you for sticking with us through all these weeks off and everything. Thank you to Matt Derrick, of course, for hanging out with us, and Seth last week. I know you guys had a great week, and I appreciate the time to be able to go and do some of the things that I have to do. But we will be back with you tomorrow. We'll talk about the offense. Check out the RGR channel on YouTube, and keep those iTunes reviews coming. Let us know what you think. And like to get some more voicemails if you could. We want to do a show here soon. We only have a couple outstanding. 913-777-4457. And we will talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review. And reach out to us on Twitter, @RyanTreseyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.